Welcome to This Is Our Earth podcast. I am Sylvia Puentes, and I invite you to these amazing conversations that explore the wonder and magic of connecting with our beautiful planet. Inspired by El Lugar, the Place, originally a book by Gary Douglas, and now being actualized on our earth as we speak. What can we each be that would create a sustainable living earth? So welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of This Is Our Earth. And I am delighted to introduce to you Miss Susie Gatzi. And this is a beautiful being that I am so grateful to know and get to know even more as the years go past. One of the things that when I first heard of Susie, it was like the dog whisperer. And I would see these pictures with her with all these dogs. And then I got to see her with horses and it was like, wow, with horses. And then I got to see her with chickens and cows. And then so it's been this gift to see this energy of what is available in this, you know, communion with animals and with the earth. So Susie, I am delighted to have you. I am delighted to hear what you know about what it is to create with animals and the planet. So welcome.
Hey, thank you so much, Sylvia. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you so much. And I have to say, like, I've been enjoying listening to all of your podcasts, and it's been really fun to see also what you are creating with the El Lugar energy in Costa Rica. And it's just been such a pleasure also to be really, you know, seeing that, listening to that, and just, yeah, gorgeous, and, gorgeous, gorgeous.
And thank you so much, because El Lugar, this incredible, beautiful property, you know, future resort in the process of being built, is an inspiration for this podcast. You know, it has definitely been a land and a project that it invites me to be in the question every day, what am I choosing that's creating our earth? And that's been the joy of this podcast. It really is all different topics of people coming on, speaking about what they're choosing that, you know, that energy, their choice creates our earth. So I'd love to hear from you, kind of your journey of what it's been, either working with animals or the planet. Like, yeah, what is it that you know and what is it that you be that's so different?
Well, that's a good question because I can't answer that. But what I'd actually like to say is that it's really a choice that we can make in every moment of our day. And it's not that I am always like this happy go lucky person that runs around all the time on cloud nine and, you know, like connected to the earth, connected to the animals. I have moments where I'm like, bleh. And you know, but then it's like up to us to actually use a tool to change that energy. Or if I want to wallow in it, then at least enjoy the wallowing. And so I think to me, this is one of those things where sometimes people think, well, yeah, there's this happy person that is always so connected to the earth. Well, maybe, and maybe also it's a choice that you can make in any moment of your day and have it. And so it's not something that's not achievable or that you have to judge yourself for when you're falling off of occasionally.
And I love that you say that, Susie, because one is the permission to, like, if you want to wallow in it, but the gift to know that it is a choice. And, you know, not to be at the effect of anyone or anything and know that you have a choice. You want to wallow, you want to cry, you want to scream, you want to punch someone's face, whatever it is. Okay. But that has been the gift, even in my own life. And a lot of stories I hear from people is that before, when they would wallow in it, they didn't know they had a choice to step out of it. And that now it might be hours and maybe a day, but it's not that month or that year or that eternity that they thought they had to live in. So
totally. Yeah. And so for me, it's also the whole thing with animals and earth and everything, the energies that are available, so much of it is also about receiving. And I think a lot of times we forget that, or we've also learned that we need to always give, you know, give to the earth, give to the animals, by all means, you know, be a nice person, make sure you do everything right, rather than also the allowance to actually receive. And it's so interesting whenever I remind myself of that, wait a minute, yes, what contribution can I be today to the earth? But hey, what can I receive from the earth today as well? And that is always such an interesting energy in that moment when I ask that, there's always something there that the earth is willing to contribute to me and to all of us in any given moment of time, if we're willing to receive. And I think that's the part that for most of us, is a muscle that we have to build. And that's what Gary Douglas always says, you know, bars is your very first tool for receiving. People don't know how to receive, and bars are tools for receiving. So if you haven't had your bars run, this might be something you want to check out, because it does actually change something. You're laying on the table and you're receiving the bars. For me also, I remember the first time I got the bars, I had no idea what happened to me, but I knew something had changed. And I got off that table and I was like, whoa. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I just knew, whoa, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that you say that. And I just want to invite everybody to go to, you know, www.accessconsciousness.com and get more information of the bars if you haven't heard of it. Because it is, like you said, Susie, this gift that you can't explain what occurred, but there's something new available. For me, it was that sense of like something was removed almost. There was a new space that I didn't know existed, didn't know I could ask for, and didn't even know that it would be something I'd enjoy until I experienced it. So, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, you didn't even know you could enjoy.
No, had no idea. So, yeah. So even if it's one session you guys go receive, there's many facilitators around the world, but that, what a gift to have that on the planet to increase our receiving without having to be in our heads about what is receiving, what does it look like, what do I need to do? Yeah,
such a well, gift. And that's the part about receiving, right? You're not doing anything, which that's the hard one. You're like, what do I have to do to receive? Nothing.
And that's the gift that I've noticed with animals in a whole new way, you know, with dogs and horses. They actually don't have this agenda of gifting you something and expecting something in return. And I had never experienced that with any one person the way I'd experienced it with an animal. That invites me then to receive more from people. Can you talk about what that magic is with animals and how they also contribute to receiving?
Yeah, I mean, you actually just said it quite beautifully. They just don't have an agenda, and they don't have any, to them, this is not a thought process. This is not something they have to decide or even choose. That's just who they are being on the planet. And part of living on this planet is gifting and receiving in simultaneity all the time, because that will also, that's part of awareness too. For me, is if I cut off my receiving, I cannot be 100% aware of my surroundings. And for animals, being aware of their surroundings a lot of times is part of living. That is also part of survival, and not survival like, you know, oh my God, I'm gonna die, but really more like, hey, I'm here and I'm aware. Because we talk about this all the time, but for example, if there is a you know, a bad year coming, the rabbits won't breed as much. Well, how do they know that? Do they have, you know, they don't have an Apple Watch that tells them the weather forecast, you know. Well, how do they know? They just do, because they're willing to have the information. They're willing to receive that information from the planet, from the atmosphere, from everything. And we are the ones that have decided we don't know how to do that, or, you know, we need the Apple Watch for that. Instead of just being willing to also have that awareness. Or the thing is too, you don't have to be knowledgeable of everything that's going on, but if you are willing to actually watch the rabbits, then you might get information from them that you wouldn't get in it any other way. And that's part of it too. It's not that the rabbit is all knowing of everything. It's more like the rabbit knows where to get the information it requires. So, you know, that's part of receiving too.
And I love, quickly to mind came that movie, is it called Little Farm or?
Yeah, Little Big Farm, I think. Yeah.
Little Big Farm, yes. Because they really demonstrated what they started to do and watch what was happening. Right. And the willingness to choose different things where it didn't make sense. And you actually got to see throughout the film of what occurred at the end, because they were willing to listen, you know, in that sense of going, not being in your head about it. And that's the gift I'm seeing at El Lugar as well, that there is this willingness to ask and listen to what the land requires as construction is being done, And it's been magical to see that when the listening occurs, how it all just seems to flow with ease.
Yeah.
So yeah, that listening part. Can you speak more of that? You know, there's people that have pets at home with, you know, different issues. And I know you facilitate a lot of people with things like that. And you are also on this beautiful ranch out in Houston. What would you say to someone that's beginning to develop even asking a question or listening to their animals, whether it be at home or on a farm?
Well, my very first suggestion would be to get out of any preconceived idea that you have about what that looks like, what that feels like, what that sounds like, what that is like. And also to get out of your own way in terms of the expectations you might have. I meet people that think that, oh, once I know how to communicate with animals, there will be this constant conversation that I'm having all day long with all kinds of animals. You may, but at the same time, it's just like with people, you know, do you want to talk to people all day long? You might be that kind of person, but you may also be somebody who's quite grateful to have a little alone time every now and again. And also the same is true for all animals. Not all animals are the same. You have some chatty ones and you have some introverted ones, and to expect that all animals would be communicating in the same way is insane. Just like people, we don't all communicate in the same way or have the desire to communicate in the same way. And so also the part of communication too, what might be interesting to us may not be interesting at all to animals. So they may not want to talk about it, or, you know, and also it's just not quite the same conversation. It's really more like being willing to receive something that's unexpected. Because a lot of times I get that people are worried, does my animal like me? You know, that's often the first thing I hear. Oh my God, I'm going to find out my animal hates me. Well, if your animal really hates you, they might have other choices to leave you. So please don't go there. You know, it's like you guys have found each other. You are together. And, you know, you all have stories to how you guys found each other. So don't go into the doubt of all that, but just really lower your barriers, meaning just be willing to receive from your animal, and then just have curiosity too. Is there something my animal is communicating that I've been unwilling to receive or perceive? Because sometimes animals also have needs that maybe we're not meeting, but they may not be these obvious things that you think are so important. It may be something small, and all of a sudden you are willing to fulfill that or to be present with that, and your entire relationship changes with your animal. So it could be so subtle and it could be so little, but you all know how to receive the communication, and that's the beautiful part. We all are energetic beings, and so the language that we all speak is energy, all of us. It doesn't matter what body we're in, we all speak the language of energy. And so it's just a matter of allowing yourself to have that again in your life. Because it's not that you never had it, it's just that you've been doing your best to ignore it. So what if you stopped ignoring that part of your life?
And it's so interesting. There's certain things like, did you see the way he looked at me? Did you see, you know, like you try to look for I've tried to look for the physical part of the communication. And yet there's moments where I just know that I know that has nothing to do with the physical part, which has also been really fun to play with it. Before, you know, growing up for me, I had pets, but they were always pets that would eventually become food. You know, or the chickens for the eggs and the pig would eventually become the meat. You know, even a pet goat we had ended up becoming meat, and we were devastated as kids. But so pets for me were really different. So to me,
edible.
They were all edible. Good thing we didn't, you know, and even the dog we had was for a very short time. Good thing. But, you know, this experience of really allowing to receive, I'm actually looking at a friend's dog here, and he has chosen to stay home from work several days since I'm in town. And his, you know, owner, dad, whatever, it was really hard for him the first day. And he made it mean all these things. And I'm like, wow, what gift is it to actually begin to acknowledge? It's like, you know, our animals, like us, we're like, nope, today I don't want to go to work. It's too cold and dark outside. I'll stay home. But where, can you speak about that, where we make it mean like get significant about their choices or what they're doing, where it can't just be like, no, not going.
Yeah, not in the mood. And just like we are too sometimes not in the mood for something. But that's the same in relationship. How often do we take whatever our partner is choosing a personal, you know, instead of really just looking at it and going, is that actually personal or is it just a choice they're making for whatever reason for themselves right now? It has nothing to do with us. And the same is true for the animals. I mean, I could be so upset lately, Charlie, my older dog, he's been, you know, not wanting to walk as much as he used to. And I could take this so serious and so personal, but it's like, hey, dude, I understand, you know, the bones are creaking. Okay, cool. So shorter walks, I get it. And I have the privilege where I live right now and also on the ranch that I don't have to pay attention because he can just turn around and go home whenever he chooses. And he chooses that, but I don't take that personal. It's like, no, he's making a choice for his own body and for his well-being. I'm actually glad he's not trying to drag himself all over the place for my sake. So, you know, what if actually the choices that our animals are making are not always a proof or a disproof of the love they have for us?
It's a great one. In that part of significance, when you look at, you know, animals and the earth, like where do we also make things with the earth significant that doesn't allow it to have the freedom to continue to grow and change, would you say?
Oh, everywhere. You know, there are so many things where we go into the significance. And also, I think we have to just be brutally honest where are things where the earth is asking us to actually look at something and change something? And where are we making things way too significant? You know, and I mean, Gary Douglas talks about this jokingly with recycling, for example. He says, look, if you are angry while recycling, stop recycling because your anger is worse than you not recycling. But if you're happy recycling, keep recycling. Who cares? It's like the earth is receiving more from your happiness than it is from you recycling. So I think we just have to look at where we're making our actions mean so much, but it's really more the energy with which we are doing them. So if we're doing them begrudgingly, then maybe stop. Look again.
There was something early on, even before I discovered the tools of Access Consciousness, that when I would see, you know, as part of these groups where they were showing these films of, you know, save the whales and save, you know, the animals and just, but there was always this energy of fight. Like, and I remember going to myself, like, something doesn't make sense. Like, it seems that, like, the same stuff, you know, the same energy was going on, but it's like, I couldn't put it all into words, but it was like, like to march and protest or the actions they were taking, it didn't seem to match to what I knew was possible. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, that movement to fight against something. And so I appreciate what you're saying here that, you know, what energy are you being as you're choosing anything, really? That's actually the greater contribution.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is not to say that you can't go out and join a demonstration. You know, it's not that. It's not that, oh, now I don't have to do anything. That's not it either. You have to just be willing to look at what is contributing to what you would like to create for your future. And that could even be you going to the store and buying something. You know, look at what you're buying. Hey, is this contributing to the future I'd like to create on this planet? And it may be the product next to it that is a greater contribution. And you don't know why. It's just energetically, oh, this matches more what I would like to create. Cool. So I'll buy that. Why not? So it's really every moment in your life that you could choose that and not to make it significant. It's really more just to be aware, like, oh, I can actually choose a future with every action that I have all day long. So it doesn't have to be anything, you know, big where.
Yeah. And I love too that you said it's like, it's something that we actually have known, you know, because you're talking about asking these questions, you're going to buy something or you're going to choose something. And, you know, we talk about in Access Consciousness, the energy of light and heavy, you know, but before I heard this particular tool, there was already a sense that I had of things. I just named them different. It's like, well, that person, I'm not quite sure, but I thought I was being judgmental cow, and yet I was being aware of something. So can you speak more about that tool and that muscle of allowing yourself or trusting yourself of that, what you do know?
That's definitely a muscle that I think all of us have been building over years, really. Or I mean, even that sounds horrible, actually. What if it was easy, and yet it is a muscle that you have to start flexing again? Because this, we learn so much, and I'm from Germany, so hello. We learn to be logical. We learn to have our reasons and justifications. We learn to analyze, and this is how we are supposed to make decisions. This whole idea of choice and the possibility that you could choose again and change without anybody hitting you over the head or the world collapsing, that was something completely new to me. And still to this day, every day I have to remind myself, oh, I could choose, and I don't have to come to a conclusion here. I can actually choose. Oh, and I can choose again. Oh, wait, I still have choice. Oh, I could choose. So, it's this thing where you have to be willing to choose. And then the choice often gives you an awareness like, oh, this was an interesting choice I made. Maybe not my wisest choice. Okay, can I choose again? Yes, I can. Thank goodness I have the possibility to choose again. I am not stuck with my choice. So, really, it's not about coming to a conclusion what is the right thing to do before you do it, but being willing to just go out there and choose something, and then recognize too, like, whoa, that choice was interesting, or that choice was phenomenal. And just really acknowledging too, when you have those things, just how you are going through your day, really. And so it's not about, oh God, I should be fearful if I'm picking the right thing to do or making the right choice. It's more like, okay, choose. Whoops. Okay, well, choose again.
And I love that because a great example is with food, right? You're like, oh, yes, my body wants it. And you eat it, your body will let you know, nope, that wasn't what I desired. So I'm going to give you a little gas tonight, It's like, all right, note to self, ask again and start listening in a different way. No, that's beautiful. There's also an incredible book that Gary Douglas wrote many years ago, Talk to the Animals. And it's so funny, it's been popping in my awareness because you're about to have a class, and it's called Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider. So it's been popping in my awareness to read that book again from the information I now have or the awareness that I have now with animals. Can you speak about that book and this class that you have in
Yeah, I
coming
mean,
up?
the book is phenomenal. And so many people I know that have that book for a long time would carry it around in their purse. And when they were around an animal, they would just open a page and do whatever was on that page with that animal. So, just a great read, a lot of information. I mean, even I did the audio portion of it. So if you listen to the
Oh,
audio part,
wonderful.
you hear me talking. But even when I was reading it out loud again, and I have read this book many, many times, I was like, wow, I never was aware of that paragraph. It's so interesting how much there is in this little read. It's a very short read, and it's packed with information. So yeah, I mean, I would highly recommend it. I think it's only available in English at the moment, but what
I
else is
believe
possible?
so, yes.
So, but anyway, yeah, it's a great read. And yes, we have some classes that are based on that. We have Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider, which is based on a lot of these tools. We also have classes called Talk to the Animals, which is also based on these tools. And so if you want to have more of this, you can check out those classes online at the Access Consciousness website. You can find them there. And there's facilitators around the world that offer these classes. And it's really, Access just has a very pragmatic yet different way of looking at things, and also the way to really move things out of the way. And also with animals, animals can get stuck in some decisions they make for whatever reason, you know, whether it was abuse or something else, they can also get stuck. And so the tools of access can help them just as much as they can assist us to move beyond that and really let go. But the beauty is that animals are, they don't have to analyze their past. They don't have to analyze why they're holding on to something. If you are being an energy for them that allows them to move on, they just do it. And that's why I enjoy working with them so much, because you can have an animal that had a behavior for years, and then you just hit it with questions and some clearings, and all of a sudden it just drops the behavior and it's gone. And then to see people's faces, you know, like, wow, you could do that, you know. And I mean, we've had incredible changes with animals. One that just pops in my head right now is we had this lady come with a rather large horse to a class, and this was a 4-day class, and we were working with the horses in this class, and this horse was particularly delightful, and he was big. And so at the morning after class, she was gonna load him up, and he didn't fit in the trailer anymore.
How do you explain that, right?
Exactly.
You
don't.
It just
could not fit in, you know. And she had to laugh, and she said, "Can I leave him here another day? I've been wanting to buy a new trailer anyway." But it was just incredible. He did not fit. So, and yes, those are the things that you can't explain, like you said, but just so much fun too. And jaw dropping too, because we were all like.
And for me, there's almost this ease to work with animals, maybe different than it is with people, you know, like you were saying, because as I've explored working with horses or animals, I have to trust me. Like, I have to trust what I'm sensing or getting, as strange as it may be, you know? And then to see, you know, so it's like, I'm always saying, like, hey, play with it. Play with the tools. You know, if you choose to get the book, read it, try it, see what you discover. Because it isn't a head thing. And it's been so fun to develop this new way of communicating, receiving, like you said, and talking with animals, but not talking from, you know, we may use our voice, but it's so different, and it's a whole different realm, you know. So it is a beautiful invitation that you be, Susie.
Oh, you know? Thank you. Well, we all are, you know, I mean, all in our own unique ways. And really, truly, I mean, that's the thing that I've always... that I never knew before access, really truly, is how much every one of us is such a gift, and to really be willing to acknowledge that in everyone. And and again, not to make it significant, but to really also see all how we are all so unique, but we all have this way of being in the world that is totally different from everybody else.
Totally, totally different. And I actually just popped my awareness, my very first engagement with maybe you and Charlie was in one of early classes many, many years ago. They had invited someone from the audience to come up and do this exercise of allowing themselves to be way more of them, like energetically. And so I went up and I just kind of allowed myself to be way more of me. Didn't realize how much I was actually holding back. And Charlie was in the class and he ran up on stage and started barking. And I went to all this, see what happens? Like, oh my gosh, maybe he's seeing like the entities in me come out. Like I had all these things, and it was literally like, you know, almost like what the wrongness of me being all of me showed up with the gift of him running to bark at me. And you came up and to get him, and you said, you know, he's actually really happy to find someone with all this energy to play with. Like, it was like, I'm a what? But that willingness, that invitation, and the gift of Charlie coming up to bark at me, and the question to actually questions like, what if it's not a wrongness, but you actually match this playfulness that he knows that few people are willing to be. And I thought, wow, you know. So for me, it has been this journey to allow myself to be way more. And I'm experiencing it when I'm riding a horse. But the gift of animals to invite you to see more of you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to add to that invitation that animals are for that?
Well, that was a beautiful example, really. And again, like, you know, the interpretation that you had immediately, like, oh, I'm doing something wrong, a dog is barking at me. That's actually also, wow, you know, how often do we immediately go to some kind of conclusion when we are being confronted with a behavior of an animal, rather than really being in the question, what's going on here? And of course, you know, when a dog's in front of you barking at you, it could be a bit intimidating too in that moment. And at the same time, what if we could even be in the question in that moment and be like, what's going on here? What is this dog actually communicating right now? And what is going on with my energy? And with Charlie too, what I have noticed is when I'm being an energy where I'm excluding him, and not because I want to exclude my dog, you know, hello, I'm excluding my dog, but it's more like we sometimes get into these weird moments where we think we have to do this for ourselves, or this is just for me, rather than knowing that we are always connected somehow, but now we're trying to gather our energy together or something strange, you know, and it drives him crazy when I do that. And then I go, oh, okay, here he is reminding me that no, it's not about like trying to pull myself in. No, just like you said, Sylvia, you know, you have been practicing this place of just being more and more and more and not trying to confine you anymore. And I think animals are always a reminder of that, because to them it doesn't make sense when you diminish you. They don't understand it. And this is also in the classes that we have, you know, when people are diminishing themselves, the animals will do whatever they can to get them to step up. And if that means that they buck them off, they will buck them off. And, you know, if that means that they need to kick them, they will kick them. And it's interesting to watch, because it's every time when an animal uses a little extra oomph to get someone, they always go, yeah, I was completely not present. I was completely not here. I was completely in my head or whatever it is. And the animal woke me up and got me present. And so that is also such a beautiful gift that the animals can be, because they can perceive us. They know what we have as a possibility, and they cannot understand why we're not being that 100,000% of the time every day.
So yeah, many gifts of animals of all sizes and kind, definitely, Susie. Thank you. And I want to let people know that if they are able to get to Houston, if, you know, to join you in these live upcoming classes, because you have two, you have a 2-day Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider. And then after that, you have the facilitator trainer training that has other prereqs to it as well. But I would invite everyone that's listening, because this will go out before your class. So I'm excited to get it out in the world and just be that invitation, because I get it's not anything separate. It's just not about animals. It's you being more of you at work, at home, and in your relationships. You know, we've had a couple of those topics come up, but what gift can this be to all of us as we learn to engage with each other and the planet in a different way? So thank you so much, Susie. Thank you
for coming on. Well, thanks for having me. What a fun conversation. Thank you.
And for all of you that are listening, if you enjoyed this, share it around. And there's many others in the archive and more to come. And if you would like to be on the show or know someone that you would like to have us interview, then email me at info@ellugar.com. So that's el-lugar, L-U-G-A-R.com. Thank you so much, Susie. Have a beautiful day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to inspire new actions and conversations that empower us all to know that we are the ones creating the future. If you'd like a way to contribute to our podcast, please leave a review wherever you listen. And for information about El Lugar, visit el-lugar.com. Thank you.